This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Deciding What's Fair. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. If I ask you about your childhood, you're probably going to remember a time when you felt like something wasn't fair. Your sibling got ice cream and you didn't. Your classmate was being obnoxious and you ended up getting punished. But how about this story?
I'm Carson. I'm 18 years old.
Carson is in Sydney, Australia, and he talked to us through Skype. He didn't want to say his last name, and the reasons for that will become obvious. Carson had been talking to his parents about buying a car, nothing fancy. He'd been saving money since he was 14, and he needed to have a car to get to his part-time job at McDonald's. He was doing well in school, working hard, and his parents said they would pitch in half of whatever he decided to get. Up to $5,000. But then Christmas was getting closer, and Carson thought that maybe his parents would just buy him the car as a gift. Finally, Christmas morning came.
I come downstairs, and my sister is screaming, like she's ecstatic.
His sister and parents were outside. She's hugging her parents, jumping up and down with joy. And next to her, a brand new Hyundai with a giant red bow on the front.
God, I can't believe it.
A car that's worth about $25,000. Carson turned to his parents and asked who the car was for. They told him, it's for your sister, who, by the way, didn't have a job and had dropped out of school.
I was crushed. I didn't know what to say. So I didn't say anything. I just stood there for a couple of seconds. And I kind of wanted to punch her, actually.
Carson didn't do that. He just walked back to his room, and then he saw a small present under the Christmas tree with his name on it. So he unwrapped it.
It was a phone case. And I think that just added salt to the wound. I was so let down. I was so disappointed. I was just, crushed.
So you're probably feeling like Carson got a raw deal, right? His sister gets a car and he gets a phone case? Like, that's not fair. But we don't know anything else about the story or his parents' reasons for this weird, unfair distribution of Christmas gifts. So why do we care about this? Whatever it is, it's fueling a super active page on Reddit called AITA. Am I the asshole? Or let's just say bad guy. It has millions of followers. Carson posted his story on that site. Here's how it works. People describe situations where they felt mistreated or slighted. And then users weigh in and vote. Who's the bad guy here? Our reporter Liz Tung has become obsessed with this subreddit, and she has this story.
Am I the A word? I'm just going to call it AITA for short. Was started back in 2013 by a guy named Mark Bolak. Mark wanted help with a dispute that had recently divided the men and women at his office. Their beef, who got to control the thermostat?
I had to wear a suit every day. Other people did not have to dress so warmly. And during the summer, they didn't like the fact that the air conditioning was at what I thought was a reasonable number 72.
The women, many of whom wore skirts to work, wanted the office at a toastier temperature. But the men felt like they should just layer up and were ready to draw a line in the sand. But Mark was hesitant.
So I thought, am I kind of mansplaining fashion to people who have to follow rules that I'm not even aware of? So I just kind of wanted to have somebody else outside of my social circle give me the response, give me the judgment before I went ahead and blurted it out. So I went online, I made my space, I asked the question, and one person found it and responded and kind of said it sounded like I was right. So the rest is history.
Mark says the subreddit's name, Am I the A Word, while it might sound kind of crude, is meant to encourage people to be self-critical and reflective about the role they might be playing in a conflict. The final judgment is decided by commenters. There are four ways to vote, and again, I'm going to paraphrase here to keep it clean. You're not the bad person. You are the bad person. Everyone's bad here, or no one's bad here. Posts cover everything from profound family dramas to spats over chores and household bills to more unique situations. Like the guy who wondered if he was a jerk for single-handedly eating 4 feet of a party sub all by himself. For the most part, the stories are pretty mundane. But another AITA moderator, Elizabeth, who asked that we just use her first name to avoid harassment from internet trolls, says that's actually part of the appeal.
And I think that is one of what makes it kind of relatable to people when they see these kind of small things like fighting with their roommate, fighting with their sibling. They actually have a space to really explore a conflict that people have brushed off in the past as too insignificant to really pay any attention to.
6 years after its creation, AITA has racked up almost 2 million subscribers and generates upwards of 700 posts every day, along with thousands and thousands of comments. So why all the passion? To find out, I talked with Katie McCullough. She's a professor at the psychology department at Boston College, and she's published more than a dozen studies on fairness. Katie says our sense of fairness actually is almost like a kind of fundamental drive. In fact, it starts before we can even talk.
Even as early as infancy, so in the first year or two of life, children start to have expectations, or it looks as though they have expectations that things should be divided up equally.
Katie has done a number of studies on children's sense of fairness. Basically, she pairs them up, gives them an unequal number of candies, and then sees how they react. She says for the first few years of life, kids are totally happy to get more candy than their partner. But around the age of 8, something magical happens. They start turning down the extra candy in the name of fairness.
And this was really, really surprising both to us and to the parents who are watching their children participate in this task. You know, their children are throwing away 4 candies to prevent a partner who they've never met before from getting less than them.
Katie and her colleagues have done these experiments around the world to see if kids' sense of fairness is culturally specific. They found that notions of fairness differ from place to place, but
fairness does seem to be a universal concept in that people across cultures seem to care about fairness.
In fact, researchers have found that there actually seems to be a biological basis for a preference for fairness. Golnaz Tabibnia is a neuroscientist at the University of California, Irvine, who's done research on how our brains react to fairness and unfairness. She and her team took brain scans of people as they were receiving fair and unfair offers as part of a game. As it turned out, when they were getting offered a raw deal,
the anterior insula gets activated when we're treated unfairly. And this part of the brain, incidentally, also gets activated when we see or smell or taste something disgusting.
But when they got a good offer,
you see activation in the reward circuit, including the ventral striatum. And people report greater happiness. So there seemed to be something about fairness in and of itself, kind of independent of the material outcome that it's associated with, that's activating the reward circuit.
These are powerful reactions. Pleasure on the one hand, disgust on the other. Being treated fairly doesn't just activate our reward centers. It actually makes us feel happy. According to Alan Sanfi, a brain cognition and behavior researcher in the Netherlands, the opposite, unfair treatment, stirs up a complicated cocktail of negative emotions.
We know anger is a part. We know disgust is a part. Sometimes sadness can be a part. So each of these emotions are kind of accumulated in this feeling of unfairness.
And researchers have found we don't just have this reaction when we're the direct recipients. It can even happen when we're just witnessing unfair treatment. Golnaz says that could be what's prompting so much passion from the commenters on AITA.
At least observing these third-party bad behaviors is triggering something in us that's very strong. And I see the connection in, like, the desire to want to incur punishment.
We can't exactly punish bad actors through our computer screens, but we can do something.
It's public shaming, and that's a really profound punishment, I would think. Social evaluation is one of the more robust ways to stress people out physiologically. The threat of bad, poor social evaluation, I should say, is like one of the more reliable ways to get people's cortisol levels to go up.
That's the stress hormone, which in high levels can cause everything from anxiety and depression to heart disease. Katie McCullough, the researcher from Boston University, says this desire to punish unfair treatment even when it doesn't affect us directly, is evidence of how important our sense of fairness really is.
And I think that this really speaks to this idea that the fairness norm itself is so privileged in our society, and it's important that we not only uphold that norm when we're the victim of unfairness, but when we see anyone as the victim of unfairness, because we need to make sure that this norm is upheld for everyone's benefit, in a sense.
So the big appeal of Am I the A-Word isn't about rubbernecking at people's problems. At least it's not just about that. We care about fairness because we want to be treated fairly. It's what fosters cooperation.
And human cooperation is so essential, right, to our everything. Like, our whole entire society is based on cooperation. So we can achieve more together than we can achieve alone. And fairness gives us a way of making sure that those relationships remain productive and they can help protect us from working with bad partners, essentially.
Which is not to say that AITA is necessarily the best arbiter of what's fair or what isn't. We're just hearing one side of the story in these posts, and commenters are bringing their own baggage to their judgments. But another one of the moderators, her name's Claire, she again asked that we only use her first name to avoid internet trolls, says that's not necessarily the point.
It's a way to gain some perspective or, you know, to see a new way of thinking about your situation that maybe you weren't able to think of on your own.
And hopefully that perspective will make the posters and all of us a little bit more fair overall.
That was Liz Tong reporting.